Please pray for us, because we need your prayers. And I'm maybe about 2 hours from our house this next Sunday. I preached for the fella on a Wednesday night. He only has evangelists come in on Wednesday nights. And I preached for him on a Wednesday night, and he booked me for all day this coming Sunday. And so a little bit bigger church, and so we're excited about that. But pray that more churches will support us, okay? We need more support coming in. And we've got some supporting churches right now, but we need more support, so please pray about that. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before thee again, thanking thee for this time, this place. These folks that are here, the pastor of this church, I pray to bless him tonight. And Father, we need some help from you tonight. I pray that you can guide me with the message, my mind, and the thing that you're going to do. Holy Spirit, I need your touch. I need you to open up my mind, my mouth, so I can speak clearly, people understand what I'm saying. Holy Spirit, you know what we are, how we're living, and everything about me. I pray that you do something about these dear folks here tonight, Holy Spirit. We need a touch from you. So please, I pray, Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Father, we love you. That's what you're going to do, just in my praise. Amen. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, verse number 7 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind." God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Why all the mask? Hello? Why all the mask if we're not living in fear? You know, that this virus came by, and everybody got afraid of death. So afraid of death, they put masks on. I believe some of the people go to bed with masks on at night. You see them driving down the road with a mask on. Why? I'll tell you what. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If we're saved, we're not fearing what man can do to us. Amen? We're not fearing what man can do to us. Verse number 8, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling." I like that, with a holy calling. "Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us Christ Jesus before the world began." This all started before the world was even here. Hello? God did not wake up one day and say, "Oh, I got to do something." It's been before the world was even breathed into existence. God knew about, the Lord Jesus knew about Calvary. He knew about that. That's verse number 10. "Then I made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and mortality to light through the gospel, wherein I'm appointed a preacher unto the apostles and teacher of Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I want to preach a little while tonight upon this particular subject tonight. Ain't it good to know? Paul says, "I know whom I believed." No mistaking with Paul. He said, "I know him." Yep. Hello? My wife and I have been married for 49 years. We know each other. We knew each other on our first date, amen. And our second date, I proposed to my wife, my soon-to-be wife. You're saying, "You can't quote me." Yes. No question about it. We just knew that we had to be together for the rest of our lives. Paul says, "I know something." It's good to know something. There's no doubt in your mind, in your heart at all about knowing something, folks. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know I'm heading when I quit breathing. Amen. Well, that's my home.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah.
Right.
Paul says, "I know whom I believe." He said, "I'm persuaded."
Right.
Is able We need to know him. Hello?
Right.
Who he is, what he is. Amen. He is a Savior, yes, of mankind. But there's something about our Savior you need to understand. First of all, you need to know him like David knew him. Amen. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 22. You need to know him like David knew him. Amen. I wish more people would know him like David knew him. Amen. 2 Samuel 22. David knew our Lord and Savior. Okay? Look at verse number 1. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, and the day the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies, out of the hand of Saul." Saul wanted David dead. But the Lord delivered him. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." David said, "I know the Lord." What about you? Hello? He knew him as the rock in his life. How about, the rock in his life. Now, I'll tell you something right now. If you're going to build a building, you're going to have a good foundation. Amen.
Right.
In Ezra chapter 3, they're forming just the foundation of the temple of God. Amen. It was all finished, and they threw a part that you never, I call the first canon that ever took place in the Bible. I mean, the instruments were playing, I mean, they're just blasting off with amens and hallelujahs like crazy. Why? Because the foundation was done.
Yes.
Right. You got a good foundation. Matthew, if you will. A good foundation. I don't know about you, but my Lord and Savior is my foundation. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7. The Bible says in verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." There it is. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and what? It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." There's a lot of people that have built their lives on nothing more than sand today. They have no firm foundation, amen. They don't have a rock to stay stable on, amen. Their families are blowing up. Why? Because they have no foundation. No foundation. Our kids were taught structure in life, amen. I know some families right now, the kids are going wild, amen. There's no structure given to them, taught to them when they're growing up, amen.
That's right.
I'll tell you what. You've got to have a good foundation.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes,
the winds are going to blow.
Yes, sir.
Troubles are going to come our way, folks. I mean, the storms run away. It's going to knock you down. If you're found upon the rock, which is Christ, then you're going to stand straight and sturdy and strong.
Yes,
why? Because you're not on sand.
Yes, sir.
You're on the rock.
Amen.
Yeah. Right. Now, look at that rock a little bit more. A little bit more about that rock, if you will. Psalms 18. Real quick, Psalms chapter number 18. Psalm number 18. The Bible says there this. Oh, yeah. Verse number 1. "I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will" what? "Trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower." There's David again bragging about the Lord, amen. About how strong the Lord has made him. He found upon David, amen, his ability. He says, "I'm trusting in" who? "The Lord."
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you what, folks. We need to understand that. Verse number 31, same chapter. "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God?" We need to make sure we're founding our lives upon him.
Yes,
Nobody else, nothing else. Him.
Right.
He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. You need a good foundation. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Just bear with me a little bit. I've got some Bible verses to look up so you don't think I'm making this all up. Amen. 28. Isaiah 28, look at verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You're not going to make a problem. You're trusting in him. Amen. Hello. A sure foundation. I'll tell you what. Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ain't it good to know you've got a good foundation? Hello? Ephesians 2, look if you will at verse number 19. The Bible says there this. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God. And I what? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone, in whom the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord. In whom ye also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, you got to have a good foundation, folks. Colossians, if you will, real quick. Chapter 2. Colossians 2. I'll tell you what, folks. If you ain't got a good foundation, you're going to just blow away. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7 says this. Let's back up verse number 6. And ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He said, hey, rooted and built up in him. Gets better. Verse number 10. He says that, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Hey, folks, when he saved me, I was complete. Amen. I've lost a bunch of them already. Is there dessert cooking in their kitchen tonight? Wake up, folks. We have something to think about. It's good to know we have a good foundation in Christ. Ain't it good to know? I'll tell you what. You got to know him. Then we got to know something about something else about him. We've got to know him about his grace, amen. Something about his grace, amen. There's something about grace you can't get away from. I think I read this verse this morning. Go to Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans 5. Verse number 8 says this, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That was the grace of God showing up right then and there, amen. He showed up for you and me on the cross of Calvary, amen. Ain't it good to know his grace? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world.
Yes, sir.
He loved this world. So much. For God so loved the world that he gave all he had given his precious son.
Yes, sir.
Hello? He died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. No, nobody. Nobody else can claim that.
Right.
Unless you're born again. He died. He paid for us.
Yep, that's right.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. What? Have ever. His grace. Something about God's grace, folks. Oh, I'll tell you what. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. The Bible says there. 1 John chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 John 2. Look, if you will, at verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for all those that sin in the world. We have an advocate with the Father. Hello, if we sin. Hello, I sin every day. I sin every day. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, amen?
That's right.
If we come to him and tell him what we've done, he doesn't say, well, try better next time. He's going to forgive us of that sin.
Right.
He's not going to forgive us of that sin. He's going to forget about that sin.
Right.
We're the ones that keep hanging on that sin all the time, dragging it up here, this right, dragging this. He said, I forgot about that sin. I forgave you and I forgot about it. Well, something about that grace of God. First of all, it's inexhaustible.
Amen.
Hello?
Yep.
For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Saved. You know what that tells me? Anybody in the world, right now, tonight, anybody in the world, even Nancy Pelosi,
yes, sir.
All right.
Even Mr. Biden,
yes, sir.
Can be born again right now. Now, that grace is inexhaustible.
That's right.
It goes far as it needs to go.
Yep.
So,
yes,
right. I'll tell you what, folks. I'll tell you what. It is inexhaustible. It is also full of power.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, this grace. It's full of power. I've seen the power of God work many, many times, folks. But again, the Bible says in Isaiah, he gives strength to the faint.
Yep.
Hello? When I was in school, in ninth grade, I had bench press 250 times. Pretty strong for that age, amen? Hello?
Yeah.
You didn't know me. School that was giving her trouble. I found out about it. Back then, I was a kickboxer, man. Sorry about that. I went to her school and I got 35 pounds to your school and I drove fast. You know backwards. I showed up, parked in the parking lot, I walked through her classroom door and boom, four guys out like that. Good thing I got some tail, man. Why, I picked on my girl. Hello?
Yeah.
I can't fight now, I'm carrying a gun, amen?
Yeah.
I'm going back to the sheep now, amen? I'll tell you what. That grace is full of power. It's full of power. That grace will help you give.
Yeah.
Hello? Help you give. If a missionary come through here, something like that, they're asking for support, but they're asking for a love offering, too, coming through here. You can't just drop a dollar bill in the offering plate and say, oh, better next time you better get some. No, you need, that grace will help you give.
Yes, yes,
I've been to my wallet meetings before. Back when we had a bus, and I was going to make an action. I had several meetings. I emptied my wallet in the offering plate. God is yours. You gave it to me. It's yours. By the way, you think about this. All God wants is the money that he gave you is 10%.
Yep.
Right. He gave you all that money. He's lost 10% of that.
Right.
Yeah. Hello? Yep. That'll help me give a little bit. Amen?
Yeah.
No, he's just after love on here. No, I'm thinking about love on that one time. Meeting in Mississippi. You may have said it to you before. I'll tell you. And meeting in Mississippi.
after that meeting, I came, not prepared to give, but I've got something for you. I said, you don't have to give me nothing, brother. You were here when I gave me the gift. No, I've got something, brother. God doesn't supposed to come to my heart. If my heart is in this, so come to my farm tomorrow. Borrow a car from pastor. Go out the country in this guy's farm. You know, I took about 2 steps to the door, because the door ended up, I'll call her for you. I said, call her. Lucia! My mother-in-law named Lucia. Don't need two of them. Lucia, go here! And here comes Lucia. About 2 minutes in the hall. That was back, brother, before they made cuts out of hogs. I had a trailer that's in the bus. No trailer. My kids, I went, you got nothing, that's what, following our bus? No way! The pet hog I want in my house is in form of bacon, or a ham, the freezer, or a pork chop. That's the pet hog I want. They got home pie train.
Yeah.
Went back to church, I said, brother, you know what he gave me? Hard time. This man was a friend of mine. He gave me 200 pound hogs. We had a 4-day layover in that place. We had a PA loading up in the bus for a minute. I'm getting out of the group when we've been. We've been a pastor. I put the hall, brother. About the hall. He said, I sold it 4 days ago. Here's the money. My friend held me over 4 days with the hall. Oh, Christian brotherhood. It was lovely brotherhood, right? It's a lovely good day. Listen to me, folks. That grace will give you the power to give. Hello? I do need a boat motor, about 10 horse amen, so you need a boat motor. Hello? Oh, well. Something about that grace. I'll tell you what. That grace. It'll do something to you. It'll do something for you. It's a saving grace. We know about that. But it's also a defending grace.
Yeah.
Hello. A defending grace. Look if you will. At Psalms chapter 5. Psalms 5. Real quick. Verse number 11. The Bible says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name, be joyful in thee.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something, folks. It's a defending grace. We have an accuser every day coming before our God, pointing a finger at us.
Yes,
and saying, what about that Sunday school teacher down there, Victor Baptist? What about him? You know about him, Lord. Look at how he's living down there. All God's got to say is, folks, he's under.
Yeah, right.
Defends us. Constantly defends us. What about that evangelist down there? Lord, what about him? What about Isaac? He's under the blood. Leave him alone. Defends us. So I like that defending grace, amen. Our defender has never lost a case.
That's right.
Never. All of a sudden again. Never lost a case.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. Something about that grace. About that grace. And lastly, not quite lastly, but go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12.
You know what's going on here, Paul? Look at what it says there, verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. With this I besought the Lord thrice. Paul said, I went to him three times. They might depart from me. Have you ever been there before? Went to God and said, God, I got him to do this. But Paul said, I went to him three times. Look what the Lord says. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. This grace is sufficient. Hello. I don't care what you're going through.
This grace will get you through it.
It's sufficient. And then thirdly and lastly, you got to know him, know his grace, you got to know his forgiveness.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
His forgiveness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His forgiveness. Psalms 86. Know about his forgiveness. Psalms 86. Verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. You know what that says? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all those that call upon thee. He is ready to forgive.
Yes, he is.
He is ready to forgive. Romans 4. I'm just about done. Romans 4. Ready to forgive. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse number 7 saying, let's back up a little bit here. Verse number 6. Even as David also described it, the blessedness of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are what? covered. Covered. Psalms 32. Has your sin covered tonight? Hello? Is your sin covered tonight? You know that for sure? I mean, absolutely know that for sure. If you stand before God, right, you know your sins are covered? Okay. Psalms 32, verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I like that. My sin's been forgiven. It's also been covered. Hello? Ain't it good to know? We have a Lord and a God that will forgive you of whatever you have done. Remember David? Psalms 51, real quick. David had committed adultery because he stayed home from church one day to watch a ball game. Hello. And then he also committed murder. Hello.
The woman that he fell in love with on top of that house there, he had an affair with her. And naturally, the baby comes along, but he wanted her husband to take the blame for that. But the husband wouldn't take the blame for that, amen? Husband didn't know a whole lot about that. But he sent the husband to the forefronts of battle, hoping for him to be dead. And that's what happened. So he committed adultery and murder. Yes, David! What happened? Psalm 51. Bible says there, David says this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He said, I'm coming to you, Lord, to have forgiveness. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is there before. That's what's happening with me, with people today in Baptist church. They don't acknowledge that they have sinned. We're all sinners. Saved by the grace of God. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. Now I should be whiter than snow. I like that. Whiter than snow.
In Michigan, we get snow. We have about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. I've got sunshine day out there. You can't look in that snow when you have no sunshine, huh? It's so white. It almost blinds it. But it says right there, you can cleanse whiter than snow.
Forgiveness. Psalm 103. Verse number 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's some benefits in being a Christian, amen? What are they, really quick? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That's the first one. Hello? Every time I go find a job, look for a job or something like that, I don't know about the benefits of working for that company. Is there insurance? Is there going to pay you something? Is there vacation? I want to know the benefits of working. God said, I've got benefits for you.
Yeah.
First of all, come to me and ask forgiveness. I will forgive you of your sin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You can hold up that right there. What's there? Something else is there.
Who healeth all thy diseases? Hello? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who cometh with loving kindness and tender mercies. He is there, folks, to help us. Psalm just about wrapping up. Psalms chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Wow. Just about done. Colossians chapter 1. You page it over there. Colossians 1. And verse number 14. The Bible says there this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen. I'm just about done. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow. One last verse, Matthew 6. I'll let you go home after this, I think. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, look at verse number 14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. It's a two-way street, folks. If you have ought against some in this church, you need to get right, folks. Right now. I don't know if there's a problem here or not. But wherever it is, my grandson called us, confessing to us that he'd been wrong in our house. We knew about that. But you're just time you have to let God work, amen? Let God work. I did wrong, Grandpa. But please forgive me. He kept on talking. Tears and I said, Grandpa, he said, I wrote letters to people that I've done wrong to. I want to make sure things are right between me and other people out there. Now, that's the way you do things.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah. He makes it all the way and writes letters to people that they've done something wrong to.
Amen.
That's forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
One time, my grandson said something about working with the youth. I said, they need you, buddy.
Yeah.
They need you. 20 years old, he's a youth. Ain't it good to know about what you think?
Yeah, amen.
I'll tell you what. I'll keep my word. I'm going to shut up right now. The rest is up to you. Your pastor has not told me about anything about you folks. I don't want to know anything about anything. One time I got booked at a church and the pastor called me and said, Brother Quick, I've got some things for you to preach on. I said, wait a minute. What? Don't tell me. What? Don't tell me about the problems in the church. Why? I want liberty in your pulpit. Hello? I'm going to be bound down by your story, but just don't tell me anything. Hello? Stanley, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I know my wife's going to come and sing a song, and if God spoke to her about something, whatever it might be, my prayer is this, that you take care of it tonight. You take care of it tonight. The altar is here. It needs to be used for whatever reason. So you please, as she sings.
One, say.